If I ask you to describe yourself, what would you say? And I ask you to give me three words to describe yourself. And maybe you live in Germany. You know, maybe Camp 151. Maybe that would be your description because that's right in your mind. Maybe you're a farmer. Maybe you're a fisherman. Maybe, who knows? We all have identities. Some of us wear them proudly. And some of us keep them tucked away. Somehow I can't hide this identity. You'd be surprised at how many places I go in town or in Coffee County, and I might just be wearing a polo shirt. And somebody say, I saw you, I recognize. As a matter of fact, yesterday, when we got back into town from down in South Florida, went into a certain store, and the person said to me, hi, Father, how are you? I was just wearing a t-shirt, pair of jeans, sneakers, and sometimes we can't escape who we are. Jesus wanted to find out what people thought about him. Of course, he knew, but he wanted to find out how the apostles registered what they were hearing. And then came the big question. What others were saying and professing about Jesus, to believe about him, was all over the map. I mean, they were saying that he was John the Baptist, he was Elijah. Others said he was a prophet from long ago coming back to life. And that's not all that far off from what some people are saying today. How many of you heard, Jesus is just a great teacher, or that he was a prophet, a preacher, and a healer? And here's the kicker. I get so upset when I hear this. He's just one of many ways to heaven, leaving out the Father. That irks me. I can't help it. Jesus' words were clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He didn't say my parent, our parent who art in heaven. He said our Father who art in heaven. Either you believe every word that is in that book that says the Holy Bible, or you don't. Either you believe every word that Jesus said, or you are calling him one of the things that C.S. Lewis said, that Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. And I'm not going to ask you what your thinking is. But for you to come out on a Sunday morning at 10:30 when you could be at the beach, I really sort of think that the answer is Lord. And you think you know what my answer is. So when it came time for the apostles, where the rubber meets the road, he said, who do you say that I am? And I ask you that question now. Just think about what you think that Jesus is. And it could be one of several many things. But Peter responded, as Peter was kind of impetuous. If you've read the Gospels, he was the first out of the boat, all these things. He jumped up and he said, you are the Christ of God. Well, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a Greek word. It comes from Christos, which means Messiah or anointed one. Saying Jesus is a great teacher, or Jesus was a prophet or a preacher and a healer, or that he's just one of many ways to heaven, but not the only way, or that anyone else is the way, the truth, and the life, poisons that foundation, weakening it to a point of collapse and rubble. How many people here like iced tea? Ah, come on. If you like iced tea and you have it sitting for a long time with the ice in it and the ice melts, you have a diluted iced tea. The kick is gone. You can't dilute things. It's unnerving and it's unsettling when those statements come from within the Christian community itself. It dilutes and it waters down not just the tea, but the truth itself. It's deceitful and it's false. And it's straight from the Father of lies. When you hear stuff like that, that's not God who's talking. There comes a time when you just have had enough of these falsehoods, tired of hearing them, a time when the truth has to be told and the faith professed. no matter what. It's time to proclaim the true identity of the church. Now, we as the body of Christ, and it doesn't matter what flavor you come from, whether it's First Baptist or it's, you know, St. Mark's, or it's First United Methodist Church, or wherever you come from. Could be the Presbyterian Church. Could be, you know, St. Andrew's Anglican Church. Whatever the flavor is, if you believe in Jesus, that's what counts. That's what counts. That is the proclaiming the true identity of the church. We as the body of Christ have to continue to ignore the poisons that are flowing through, or we have to stand up, trusting in Almighty God for His provision, for His protection, for His blessing, and His strength in the days to come. Like Abraham, he relied on his faith in God. We need to rely on our faith in Him, that somehow we're going to make it through. Somehow we'll continue to proclaim the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I was reading about a book that's out there, Conversations with God. It's been out there a while. It is such a bunch of drivel. Oprah Winfrey loves it. That tells me right away, it ain't the truth. It's so full of things that are so identifying with the culture. Those aren't God's words. And I told you where that stuff comes from. We want to proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ, undaunted, undeterred, and undiluted. As the Apostle Paul encourages us in Ephesians chapter 6, 13. All of Ephesians is written to the church. Very encouraging. But he said this, and this message is for us as well. Let us take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. So let us be confident that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God. And let us together boldly and with blessed assurance profess the faith that endures. So the question I asked you before, who do you say that Jesus is? Is he the Son of God? Is Jesus the one who requires repentance for sin and then gives forgiveness no matter what the sin? Is Jesus the one who sacrificed himself on the hardwood of the cross that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life? Is Jesus someone who touched the hearts and cured bodies and souls of people who have faith in him and continues to do so today? Is Jesus someone who came to fulfill the law and the prophets? Is Jesus someone who invites people to come to him and be transformed, never to be the same again, healed of affliction, disease, addictions, perversions, and sinful behavior? I find it remarkable, and I hope you do too, that there are people who like to call themselves Christians today who cannot or will not attest to the fact of Jesus' true identity. All those things I just listed to you, that's who Jesus is. That he is who God the Father says he is. At his baptism, God spoke. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." There are others in the church today who have really trouble believing things like the virgin birth. And get ready for this one, even the resurrection. Well, one thing is clear. You either accept the divinity of Jesus Christ as the only Son of God who died on the cross for the atonement of sins, or not. You believe in him and what the Bible says about him, or not. If you do believe in him, then you are a follower of Christ, a Christian. Otherwise, I don't know who you're following, and I think you're following a different God, small g. The truth is, you either believe what the Bible says or you don't. Those 66 books are rich and they're full of Jesus. If you don't believe what the Bible says, then please call yourself something other than a Christian. and start living whatever truth it is that you do believe in. The Apostle John warns us of this kind of deception with these words from 2 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Problems we're facing today, and there are a lot of them in the church, are based on who Jesus is and the authority of God's word. If you believe who Jesus is, who he says he is, and that God's holy word is true, then all the other things that we worry about fall into submission to Jesus Christ and to Holy Scriptures. That's the issue we face. And that's also, and I love this, it's the solution. Let Jesus and God's holy word transform us to his ways, not transform Jesus and Scripture to ours. My dear friends, there's only one truth. God has spoken. Jesus is his Son, and we are to listen to him. Now, immediately following today's Holy Gospel, which, by the way, took place at a place called Caesarea Philippi. It's just south of Lebanon in the top of the northern part of Israel. And it's not far from a snow-peaked mountain called Mount Hermon. And it's believed that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the top of Mount Hermon, and it was there that he met and was transfigured into his heavenly beauty in white that was glowing incredibly and standing in between Moses and Elijah, who were also in their glory. And so he was the fulfillment of the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. And he stood there, and God said, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." As I said before, God the Father made his true identity apparent to the world. So why are there still doubters? The answer is that there are some who think the Bible is just a bunch of great, nice stories that were written for children, like David and Goliath. Well, you're here today, thank God, on a Sunday morning because you know otherwise. You know the truth. A strong faith is necessary. It is the foundation upon which we live if we hope to survive in this world. And some major questions arise among many people today. Belief in what? Belief in whom? We as followers of Jesus Christ, like Abraham, believe in God the Father. We also believe that God sent his Son, Yeshua, Jesus, into the world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In addition, we believe that God sent his Holy Spirit, who, as Jesus told us in his words from John 14, 26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So if we acknowledge and we believe that much, then we should also accept and profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, seeking a deeper relationship with him through prayer, through spending time reading and listening to his holy word. And yet we're still fighting a battle with those who do not believe and question the truth, especially the Bible is truth. I want you to, as I work towards the end, listen to these words that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. These I often read at a baptism. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," Jesus said, "is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. If the foundation is faulty, so is its future. If our faith, our belief in Jesus and the words that he spoke to us are solid, as if it's built on the rock, then our future is undeniable. But if we waffle or waver, unsure of what we believe or if we even believe at all, then we're like the foolish person who built on sand. And our future is like dust in the wind. An even worse scenario is the person who begins with a solid foundation but sells out to the world, to culture, sells out to the popular thinking of the masses. You know, you believe what you want and I believe what I want. We're all okay because we're all good people. In my honest opinion, that kind of thinking is the poison that destroys. Faith is supposed to transform culture, but with a weak foundation, the opposite happens. Culture transforms the faith. When the foundation weakens, it's easy for him to seep into the sand that remains. My friends, there's only one true foundation, one solid rock on which to stand. All others are but sinking sand. That's the way the hymn goes, right? That solid rock is Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus, the Messiah. He's our rock. He's our fortress. Today, as we worship and celebrate with the Holy Eucharist, let us thank God for his one and only Son and his sacrifice for the gift of his word. And let us make sure that we are who we say we are. The Holy Spirit can help us to be who we say we are, to show the world Jesus in our hearts, reflecting the image of God through our love and belief in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.